So the Apostle Paul, he told the church in Colossae, it's something that we've already read this morning, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Now, the context of that passage is all about life lived under the reign of Jesus Christ. And so back in verses 1 and 2 of Colossians 3, it talks about having our hearts and our minds set on things above, having our lives fixed on Jesus Christ. And then it talks about the things that we are to put off. So we're to put off sin, greed, evil desires, malice, sexual immorality. Those things have no place in the life of a Christ follower. And there are things that we are to put on instead. We are to put on compassion, mercy, love, forgiveness, gentleness, patience, and humility. That's what the life of a follower of Christ is to look like. Those kind of things are to ooze out, so to speak, of those who are followers of Jesus Christ. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of Jesus. There was a great American philosopher who shared some thoughts on work. And so I'd like to share some of those thoughts with you now from this great philosopher. I have a picture of her. I'm sure when you were coming to church today, you didn't think that you were going to see Dolly Parton tumble out of bed, and I stumble to the kitchen, pour myself a cup of ambition, and yawning, stretching, try to come to life. Jump in the shower, and the blood starts pumping out on the streets. The traffic starts jumping with folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5, what a way to make a living. Barely getting by, it's all taken and no given. Some of you got the tune in your head right now and you're singing along. I know it. I'm not going to sing it. They just use your mind and they never give you credit. It's enough to drive you crazy if you let it. 9 to 5. For service and devotion, you would think that I would deserve a fair promotion. Want to move ahead, but the boss won't seem to let me. I swear sometimes that man is out to get me. In the same boat with a lot of your friends, waiting for the day your ship will come in. And the tide's going to turn, and it's all going to roll your way. Working 9 to 5, what a way to make a living. Barely getting by, it's all taken and no given. They just use your mind and they never give you credit. It's enough to drive you crazy if you let it. So this great philosopher shares some commentary on work, the 9 to 5 life, right? Barely getting by, it's all taken, no giving. They just use you up, right? And the man pushes you down. Things are hard. It's a grind, is what the song says. Here's some statistics about American workers, and this is from businessinsider.com. 80% of people are dissatisfied with their jobs. The average amount of times people spend in their jobs in a lifetime is 90,000 hours. 40% of workers say their jobs are extremely or very stressful. Each year, the average amount a person spends commuting is 100 hours. I think that's about 4 days in a car in 1 year. And the National Center for Education Statistics for 2010 and 2011, this is just a one-year time frame, $393.5 billion was spent on college tuition. So, what we see from those stats, and really from what Dolly Parton has to say as well, is there is an enormous amount of time, energy, and resources dedicated to that time frame, 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. But for followers of Christ, and this is really what this sermon is all about, it can be challenging, I believe, to see how our faith impacts our work. How does what we do here on Sundays, Bible study, worship, time around the Lord's table, how does what we do in communion, how does all of this shape what we do the rest of the week, right? I think it's great that we start with worship. I think there's genius behind that, that it all starts with worship on Sunday, and then we go from there to Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. What often happens is one of two things, and that's where we get into jelly beans here. I'm not going to talk about jelly beans. What I am going to talk about is how we often compartmentalize our lives. Just a commentary on jelly beans, though. Starbursts are far better than Jelly Bellies, which are in this picture here. If you've ever had Starburst jelly beans, you know what I'm talking about. But we compartmentalize our lives. What do I mean by this? Well, it goes back to something that has history in what is often referred to as Platonic thought. There's a secular, sacred divide. So what we do on Sundays, like what we're doing together today, would be considered sacred. It's something spiritual. It's of God. But what we do with the other parts of our lives would be determined to be secular. God doesn't have anything to do with it. It's not spiritual. And so you could see how this plays out in our careers and in our work. We go to church on Sunday, we do worshipy, God-y kind of things, godly kind of things, and then on Monday, we kind of leave our faith at the door and we go into our regular kind of secular lives. And so that's one thing that we do. We do it with our speech, we do it in our actions, how we interact with others. We leave our faith at the door, so to speak. That's one thing that we do. The other thing that we might do is simply become less committed to God. We walk away from our faith, so to speak. And so we see that, or we determine in one way or another that there is a disconnect between our faith and our work. We don't see how the two of them connect or how they're related to one another. And so we start to slowly walk away from faith. One form of this is very close or maybe even considered idolatry. And so we begin to worship our work. We find our identity, our character starts to get shaped more so by our work than by our Lord. So we push God aside and we say that work is now the number one priority in my life. And so those are two things that can happen as we struggle with how our faith influences what we do Monday through Friday. We compartmentalize, or we even start to walk away from our faith, maybe even walking away from God. So how do we guard against these things? What is the more faithful way? Paul says, in whatever you do, right? Colossians 3:17, whatever you do, including your job, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And so I want to explore for a little bit, what does it look like to do my job, to do what I do Monday through Friday in the name of Jesus? So I've already used the word job several times. I've also talked about career. Now, I think this applies to all of us in whatever it is that we do, just like the text says, how does our faith inform that? How do we do that in the name of Jesus? So I'm talking specifically in one way about our jobs, but this goes beyond this, certainly. How do we do what we do in the name of Jesus? Here's a few things to keep in mind as we process this. First of all, we remember that our character, even at work, should resemble that of Jesus' character. Just the passage before what we're looking at this morning, Colossians 3, verses 12 through 14. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Put on these characteristics. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Now, these aren't just our Sunday clothes, right? They're clothes that we wear on Sunday. It's what God is doing in us It takes us through every day, every aspect of our lives. Our vision as a church is that we will be a people that are shaped into the image of Christ. To do things in the name of Jesus, to be a people that are shaped into the image of Christ, means that we do things in accordance with His character and desire. Just take one of those, for instance, humility. What does humility look like in the workplace? It's a dog-eat-dog world, isn't it? Climb the corporate ladder. Do anything you can to make a buck. Do anything that you can to get some recognition for yourself. What does humility look like in your place of work? For those of you who go to a job, go somewhere, what does it look like? What does it look like for you to either take a fellow worker, maybe it's your boss, maybe it's someone below you, what does it look like for you to consider their interest above your own, to consider them better than yourselves? What does that look like? I can't answer that question for you, but as we think about wearing these clothes, doing things in the name of Jesus, we need to consider that. What does humility look like from Monday through Friday? What does it look like? The second thing, can you remember as we process what it means to do things in the name of Jesus, is we remember that work is part of God's design. Now we're going back to our Genesis series that we just wrapped up. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Remember what it says right at the beginning about humankind. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So man was made in the image of God. We explored that during our sermon series on Genesis. What does it mean? What does it look like to be made in the image of God? When we think about God, God is a creator. God manages His creation. God has the ability to think. God can imagine. And God works. He creates. He sustains. One of the images for God in Scripture is that He is a potter forming us, forming His creation. And so for us to be made in the image of God means that we also create and manage and reason and imagine and work. Think of in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, what God says to Adam, or what the expectation is for Adam. "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it." Adam was designed, created, his responsibility was to work the garden. He was a gardener. And we go over to Genesis chapter 3. Let's check this out for a moment. This is in that section that we like to skip over, right? It's the curses. So he says, this is verse 17, Genesis 3. "To Adam he said, 'Because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return.'" When it comes to Adam and his responsibilities in the garden, there's a common misconception. The misconception is that work is a result of the fall. That's not the case. Toilsome work, sweaty work, is a result of the fall. And so humankind, we work as stewards of the creation, of the good creation. And as we work, as we manage what God has given us, we add value to others. That's part of our responsibility in stewarding the world. We participate in making the world a better place. We work to provide for not only our needs, but for the needs of others as well. And so work is a part of our design. granted to us by the grand designer. We also remember that work can be an expression of our thanks. Verse 17 again from Colossians 3. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So now we're focusing on that part. Giving thanks to God the Father through Him. A common way to talk about this is having an attitude of gratitude. Even on Wednesday morning, as we hammer that nail, we're thankful for the physical ability that God has given us. As we teach those children in school, we're thankful for the education that we've received that's prepared us to do that teaching. As we draw those plans, we're thankful for the intellect that we have. As we manage those people, we give thanks to God, showing our appreciation for the position that we have in the world or in that workplace. As we prescribe that medicine to that person, we're thankful for the education that we've received, the training that we have to do that. And so we have this attitude of gratitude even in the workplace. We have talents and abilities and gifts. Where do those come from? They come from God. And so I've said this before, but oftentimes what happens is that we're born on third base and we act like we've hit a triple, right? God takes care of us. God gives us the talents and abilities that we have, and our hope is that we will use them for His glory. In the Lord's Prayer, we're taught to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." One of the ways that God provides that for us is the ability to earn a living, to be the breadwinner, so to speak, so that we can take care of ourselves, our families, and others. I love the poem by Brother Lawrence. Brother Lawrence lived in Paris in the 1600s. He was very poor. He was a kitchen worker in a monastery. He wrote this poem. "Lord of all pots and pans and things, since I've no time to be a saint by doing lovely things, or watching late with thee, or dreaming in the twilight, or storming heaven's gates, make me a saint by getting meals or washing up the plates. Warm all the kitchen with thy love, and light it with thy peace. Forgive me all my worrying, and make all grumbling cease. Thou who didst love to give men food, in room or by the sea, accept this service that I do it unto thee." As he scrubbed pots and pans, as he mopped those floors, who did he do it for? He did it all for the Lord. An expression of thanks. Jesus says about, let's look at Luke 9:23 first. Luke 9:23. Jesus says, "Then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me." So as we think about doing our work in the name of Jesus, we remember that our place of work can be viewed as a mission field. Jesus says, take up your cross. I love this here. It says, take up the cross daily and follow Jesus. I had the opportunity. This impacted me greatly, and I think I've shared this before, but I want to share it again because I think it really hits on what we're talking about here. I had this really cool opportunity to shadow someone who was a president of a, I would say, medium-sized company. A part of his time every day would be walking the floor, right? This is an opportunity to connect with the employees of the business, to encourage them, to learn more about them. Just this great opportunity. And it's not like as he was interacting with folks that he was just praying for them right there and saying, you know, the Lord bless you and keep you. And nothing, there was nothing like that. But what I saw was that he was blessing them by little words of encouragement. I appreciate what you do for us. I appreciate what you do for the company and for others. Tell me, how is your wife doing? How was the trip? that you all went on. For Mike, in that position that he was in, he was using those opportunities to be a blessing to others, to encourage others. He was doing his work in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to God and what he was doing. And so here's the deal. A mission field, and we need to be clear on this, a mission field is anywhere that there are people. The place that you go for work, for those of you that go somewhere, are there people? Then it is a mission field. Are you a disciple of Jesus? You don't have to nod your head or say yes or anything like that at this point. If you claim to be a disciple of Jesus, you're carrying your cross, right? Daily carrying it. So it's not just Sunday, but Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. If you're carrying your cross, you're going to remember, I think, who you are, what your mission is all about. And so, as we think about doing our work in the name of Jesus, we remember that every day is a mission trip. If there are people, it is a mission field. And as followers of Jesus, we're taking up our cross and following Him. Now, I would pray about how to interact with others, pray about the impact that you will have, and pray about daily taking up your cross and following Jesus wherever it is that you go. And so what does it look like to do your job in the name of Jesus? Remember that even at work, no matter how difficult it is, no matter what it is that you are doing, your character is to resemble Jesus' character. Work is a part of God's design. So as you do work, you are doing something good and God-honoring. I mean, of course there are jobs that maybe you shouldn't be doing. There's certain industries you probably shouldn't be, I think you know what I'm saying, that you shouldn't be working in, but adding value to others, making the world a better place, earning a living, all of those things are good and God-honoring. Also, work is an expression of our thanks to God for the ways that He takes care of us, the way that He gifts us, the abilities that He shares with us. Also, work can be a mission field. And so that's one simple takeaway for this morning's message. And I was inspired, truthfully, by what I heard from Bill last week about memorizing Scripture. And so the takeaway is so simple and straightforward. It's a passage we've read probably five times this morning, Colossians 3:17. I would encourage you to memorize this verse. In fact, let's go ahead and read it together. Here we go. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Let's go ahead and pray together. Father, You take care of us in so many ways. You've given us a church, a group of people that we can draw strength from and support from, that we can strengthen and support as well. And so thank You for the church that you have given us. And we're thankful that Jesus is the head of the body, and may we do all that we can in accordance with His character and will. Father, You have granted us opportunities to serve You and to serve others. It's our prayer that as we go through this upcoming week, that we can do all things in the name of Jesus, that we can have a heart that is thankful for the ways that You take care of us and the opportunities You provide for us. Father, it's our hope, it's our prayer. Strengthen us as we strive to daily take up our cross and follow Jesus. Father, help us to remember that at the end of the day, the most important thing is how we've lived for You, the way that we have served You. And so please help us to keep our eyes on the prize, serving You, honoring You, bringing glory to You. Father, we give You thanks for Jesus. We pray all of this in His name. Amen. If there's anybody here today that is in need of the prayers of the church family, Jim's going to lead us in an invitation song here in just a moment. Feel free to come up here to the front. Let us know what's going on. We'd be glad to pray with you or for you. I want you to know also that we'll have shepherds in the back. If you'd like to share something with them, feel free to go and talk with them, pray with them. They would be happy to do that. Perhaps today, there's someone here that has not yet clothed themselves with Christ in the waters of baptism. We would love to witness you make that decision today, and perhaps the Lord is knocking on your heart and you're ready to do that today. If that's the case, while we're singing, you can come here to the front and let us know, and we'll assist you in being baptized today. So whatever need that you have, you can come forward now as we continue to worship our God. Let's stand.